It's hard for me to believe that this is actually my last Sunday here with you. And this morning I'm going to take my cues from Dr. Seuss, who said, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." And this morning I am smiling because of that. If you see my smile, it is one of gratitude, lots of gratitude for all that you have shared with me during these past 3 years, and all that you have helped me learn in more ways than you will ever know. Over the last number of months, I've been thinking about what I would like to say to you as I leave, and I keep getting drawn back to the story that was the basis for my sermon here, my first sermon here, 3 years ago on Labor Day Sunday, so almost exactly 3 years ago. The story of a people who, after a long sojourn, are standing on the banks of a river at the edge of the wilderness, ready to cross over to the other side. Since I reflected on that text 3 years ago, a number of things have changed at Assembly. We've purchased a house across the street for additional Sunday school space for our abundance of children. And we're working on a plan now to expand this space. We're beginning to imagine new ways to share our space as Walnut Hill Early Childhood Center moves to a new home. And on a more mundane note, we're wearing name tags. We're drinking coffee from an additional serving station in that kitchenette here off of the worship space. And we're beginning to celebrate the birthdays of those turning 80 and 90 years old. And some things haven't changed. We're still setting up chairs every Sunday. And although we've changed up the words, we still light the peace lamp. The worship space still pulses with energy and life and connection as we gather for worship. This community continues to value and welcome authenticity and vulnerability and hard questions. And many of us would still rather linger over coffee and conversation than move back into the worship space for second hour. And here's another thing that hasn't changed. I am still as uncomfortable as I was 3 years ago with this biblical text that we will be looking at this morning. I confess that even as I am drawn to it for a number of reasons, I am repelled by it. Primarily because when the people of Israel cross over to the other side into what they claim as their promised land, they will invade and they will dispossess people who live there, who call that space home. This year, as I participated in a Come and See learning tour to Israel-Palestine, I saw how this story of invasion and dispossession is being lived out right now at great cost to both Palestinians and Israelis. This has been a part of my experience over the last 3 years here with you. And after that experience, I have wondered, how can I possibly ever preach on this text again? And yet, I somehow trust that buried within this biblical story, at a deeper and symbolic level, there is an invitation for us as we anticipate this coming transition. Let's listen for it as we hear this story anew. So, Joy, you come forward and read the scripture for us.
After the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, Yahweh spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you prepare to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, the children of Israel, and go to the land I give to them. As I promised Moses, I give you every place on which you set foot. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for Yahweh, your God, is with you wherever you go.
As the story begins in Joshua 1, we see the people of Israel at a significant turning point. They're standing on the edge of the wilderness, looking toward a new chapter of their life together. In this case, a chapter filled with promise. And maybe that's where you feel like you're standing now as well. It's been a long time coming, 40 years long. And those 40-some years were not years of ease. They were years of wilderness struggle with only their God to guide and to provide for them. And now they stand on the edge of this wilderness, ready to leave it all behind. And as welcome as this point in the journey may have seemed and may seem to you as you think about it, leaving something behind means moving into something new. And it means crossing through that uncertain space, that in-between space, in order to get there. Whether they like it or not, this community of wonders is about to experience significant change. Change in leadership, from Moses to Joshua. Change in geography, from barren desert, and it's really barren desert, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Change in identity, from wanderers to settlers. How will these changes reshape them as a people? And there is fear about what lies ahead. Given that the land is already inhabited by other peoples, it is likely and it is highly understandable that they will be met with hostility and resistance. Yes, the future holds promise, and it also holds peril. In the midst of this dance between hope and fear, the word of the Lord comes to the people of Israel through their new leader, Joshua. And the word is this: be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for Yahweh, your God, is with you wherever you go. This is apparently an important word to Joshua and to all God's people, so important that it's repeated no less than 4 times in the first chapter of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Yeah, I get that part. But the part I'm less sure about is the don't be frightened part. Those words seem to imply that fear is a choice. Okay, maybe it is for some people. But for me, fear is not so much of a choice as it is an uninvited guest. Especially during times of transition, it shows up at my door. Regularly, often unannounced, sometimes making a big racket. In fact, it shows up so often that I've given it a name and a body. Trusting that you do value authenticity and vulnerability in this place, I'd like you to meet Felix. Rather than slamming the door on his face, or allowing him to take over the house, He sits on my bedside table. And when he gets noisy, sometimes in the middle of the night, I offer him comfort and compassion. And I listen. I listen deeply for what precious thing is at stake for this precious and vulnerable one. Generally, in this space, I find calm. I find courage. And I'm learning that while fear may be a companion, I can choose courage in responding to it. Courage rooted in trust in the God who goes with us wherever we go. Courage that takes root and grows from the shelter of God's love. During this season of transition that lies before us all, there may well be times when fear comes knocking at the door. I think we can expect that. If and when that happens, may we all of us, be given courage to respond with compassion and with courage as we sink our roots deep and deeper still into the love that is greater than all fear.
When the people set out from their encampment to cross the Jordan River, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant led them to the water. The Jordan was now at flood stage, for it was harvest time. But no sooner had the priest set their feet in the edge of the river than the water upstream stopped flowing. It piled up for a great distance. The water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. And the people crossed over at the spot opposite Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh stood firm on dry land in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation had crossed the river. Once the entire nation had completed the crossing of the Jordan River, Yahweh told Joshua, "Choose 12 people from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and instruct them as follows. Take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from where the feet of the priest stood firm, and carry them across the river. Place them in the camp where you will spend the night." The children of Israel did as instructed. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan and carried them over to the camp, where they set them down. There Joshua set up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan and said to the children of Israel, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'It was here that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Yahweh your God dried up the waters of the Jordan in front of you until you crossed over, just as Yahweh your God dried up the Red Sea of reeds in front of us until we crossed over, so that all the peoples of the earth will realize that Yahweh's hand is powerful, and so that you will stand in awe before Yahweh your God forever.'"
As the people of Israel walk, or they wait on the edge of the wilderness for a signal to cross the Jordan River and enter this promised land, they hear another word from the Lord. As they cross the Jordan, they are to take 12 stones from the middle of the river that is now dry ground and carry them to the place where they're going to be camping for the night. There, in the spot where they spend the night, they are to lay them down. And these stones are to become a memorial to what Yahweh has done for them on this day, for how Yahweh parted the waters of the Jordan so that they could cross over on dry ground. Times of transition are a little bit like crossing the Jordan River. You're not exactly sure how to get to the other side. There is no bridge. But you step into the waters in faith, trusting that a way will emerge. As the way becomes clearer and you find some solid ground to stand on, then it's time to pause, to gather stones from the ground on which you stand, and to remember with gratitude God's faithful presence with you all along the way. This morning, I'd like to share a few stones that I've been collecting from the ground of our congregation over the last 3 years. I offer them this morning as a memorial, as a way of remembering God's faithfulness to this community of faith in the past, a faithfulness that goes with us into the future. First stone, Deanna. This first stone helps us remember who and whose we are. We are beloved children of God, created in God's good image. And we have been drawn into a relationship of love with our Creator, a love known fully in Jesus, and a love that blesses and forgives and heals and transforms and leads to fullness of life. We give thanks this morning for this love, and we pray that it will be the foundation of the life of this congregation. And all the people said, Amen. Second stone. This second stone helps us remember how God has drawn together and continues to shape this community of faith. As this congregation has clearly, so clearly understood from its very beginning, God has called us not to be lone followers of Jesus, but to be followers together. It is God who gathers this body to worship, to grow in faith, to care for each other, and to follow Jesus into the world. Sometimes in our life together, we have experienced struggles, challenges, and pain. Through such experiences, this congregation has also experienced much growth and much grace. We give thanks for this family of faith that we call Assembly Mennonite Church. A body, and here I quote from our mission statement, a body that seeks to be a dynamic Christian community by together meeting God, who draws us beyond ourselves into nurturing, sharing, and living the good news of God's love known in Jesus Christ. We pray that this community of faith will continue to grow together in response to God's call. And all God's people said, Amen. Third stone. Thank you, Glenn. This third stone helps us remember how God provided for this congregation during a season of grief and loss. God provided for this congregation in ways that help this congregation know deep within its soul that dark places are deep places that can be places of healing and hope. God did not abandon this congregation during its time of need. And God has not abandoned this congregation now as we all anticipate this coming pastoral transition. With Joshua, we claim this promise that Yahweh, our God, is with us wherever we go. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The fourth stone. The fourth stone helps us remember God's ongoing gifts to this congregation. The gift of our children, who fill our congregation with life and energy and love. And for the gift of growth, which has come to this congregation as it has sought to reflect God's welcome to all who come our way, regardless of age, economic or social circumstances, ethnic background, race, marital status, gender identity, physical ability, or sexual orientation. May we also give thanks for the gift of challenge that these gifts bring. May we allow all that we experience, both gift and challenge, to stretch our hearts and our minds and our perspectives and deepen our commitment to our God and to each other. And all the people said, Amen. We have built a cairn, four stones, not 12, a memorial of God's faithfulness to this congregation. We build it with gratitude for God's provision in the past and with trust in God's ongoing provision now, in this present moment, and in the future as we cross this river into the new terrain that lies ahead.
Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed are they who trust in the force of being and becoming, Yahweh, whose hope lies in this God we name Yahweh. They are like trees planted by waters, stretching out their roots to the streams. They do not fear when heat comes. They are not anxious in the year of drought. Their leaves are always a lively green, and they never cease to bear fruit.
Thank you. This text from Jeremiah moves us from the banks of the Jordan to the banks of another transition in the life of the people of Israel. This time they are not transitioning from wilderness to promised land. They are transitioning from promised land to exile. The river they must cross is one of trauma and loss. While transitions are often not as traumatic as this particular one, although they are for many people in our world, all transitions involve loss. Each transition begins with an ending that leaves us in a strange in-between space where we can no longer reach back and touch what lies behind, nor can we reach forward and grab hold of what lies ahead, because what lies ahead is not yet fully formed. Each of us navigates this in-between space in different ways. Some of us welcome it as a place for our imaginations to run free, run wild, and imagine what could be. Others of us fear it and the uncertainty and peril that it represents. Others of us just try to get through it. Although our feelings about being in transitional space vary, I would guess that we all want to look forward with hope. But hope in what? Hope that there will be something really good waiting on the other side? That would be nice, but how do we know? Most of us have experienced the disappointment that comes when what we've hoped for, what we've expected, what we counted on did not materialize. We know that life is complicated and often painful, and that not all stories have happy endings. So how then do we hope? Hope is not a simple thing. But I am learning here. Hope is not the absence of suffering or struggle. Hope is the presence of love. A big pig love, as Merle would have described. Deep love that's there in the midst of it. Hope is trusting that we are held by a love that is bigger and deeper and wider than we can ever imagine. A love that stretches its heart wide to embrace us wherever and however we are. A love that stretches our hearts wide as well, to embrace this world that God so loves, its pain and all. This love is our hope. It does not depend on our circumstances. And it is the compass for our lives, especially when the way ahead is not clear. When the way is foggy and we forget who we are, we return to love and we listen to its voice. You are my beloved children. And when the path ahead is obscure, we look to love to guide the way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love is powerful, and it can be trusted to get us where we need to go. Therefore, sisters and brothers, whatever the future holds for any one of us or for this community, we can look forward with hope because this deep love goes with us and guides us wherever we go. May you sink your roots deep into love's holy ground as you anticipate this time of transition. And as you do, may you know the blessing that comes as you draw vision and strength from God's life-sustaining Spirit. Blessed are you who put your trust in God, whose trust is God. You are like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. You need not fear when heat comes. Your leaves will stay a lively green. In the year of drought, you need not be anxious. You will not cease to bear fruit. May it be so. Thank you so much for these 3 years together.
And God's people said, Amen. Amen.